scars have been a ride.
Got the music up and bumping, but we always up to something. Oh yeah, we up to something.
Episode 61, we rolling, baby. Keep on rolling.
Throw your hands up, the hands down.
Yeah, back up and back down. Here we go.
I don't even know what you're talking about.
Don't even worry about it, fam. We gonna get there. We gonna keep in motion. But yeah, okay. What is happening right now? Oh well, can't talk about it.
There's a lot going on.
There's a lot going on.
The cosign.
So if you checking this out, we are episode 61 of the Swerve City Podcast. YouTube.com/Swerve City Podcast. Subscribe. Have fun with what we do, because we are trying to. Anyway, we are coming just off of Mania weekend, bro. L.A. was fun. I only spent 2 days out there. I wasn't very busy. This is the first Mania weekend I've had in a long time that I didn't wrestle at all. I wasn't trying to do no wrestling, active wrestling. I just wanted to move around and watch people.
Yeah. So
I did.
Good people watching weekend.
Yeah, I just wanted to watch people, watch folks, see what everything is doing. Speaking of which, one thing that I did watch was this woman's match over here. Welcome to the show, episode 61, Marina Shafir, everybody. This is like my travel buddy every week when it comes to going to AEW.
We do see each other at the airport a lot.
We're always like, hey, homie, okay, I'm on the right flight. Awesome. So
pretty much.
Yeah, so we're the reassurance that we're going in the right place and I'm not home alone, Macaulay Culkin, going to New York. But yeah, so she did Bloodsport this week. It was awesome.
It was fun.
Killer Kelly and her had a banger. It was really dope. First off, GCW Bloodsport is a really interesting product in itself. The show, they remove the ropes. It's just ring. So you got to it's combat. It's combat and it's physical. And that's where this woman strives the best at. That is her natural habitat. That is the shark in the waters. So if you can't swim, good luck with this woman on the canvas and just pure skill. And I love watching it. And it's like really cool to see. Like I see her every week at AEW. She's learning. She's still adapting to the professional wrestling style. But seeing her go into her habitat, it's a sight to see. And I just want to give you your flowers. You're remarkable at what you do. And I appreciate
Thank you.
Love watching you work every week.
Thank you.
Yes. I go to Orlando Dark Tapings just to see. Where's Marina's match? I'm watching Marina's match. I make sure of that, man. So, TZ, what's been good, brother? We got a update on anything? Because he just gave me some business talk, and it was like, this is some good shit.
Business?
Yeah, man.
Big business.
We cooking, man. You know what I mean? You know.
What can you tell them? You
know, Nationwide is on your side, first of all. I'm just joking. Anyway, we're doing great, man. Life is good, feeling good, you know, taking everything one day at a time. You know, to get into updates, my brother here, May 14th is dropping his album. Couldn't be me coming on all.
It's crazy.
Distributive.
How do you have the time?
You know what I mean?
I don't know.
That's so crazy.
You know, we are steady moving. My project Erica's Son 2 dropped June 24th on my son's birthday.
What?
So make sure.
My dad's birthday. So
absolutely.
Son's birthday is April 24th.
We got to drop
all
a track
fours,
now.
Man.
We got to drop a track on April 24th now, bro. We do got some stuff in the pot that we could just like.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, absolutely. Oh, yeah. There's so much that we have, you know what I mean, that we've been working on. So we have stuff in the vault that we could just bring out there. Make sure you got. Thank you to all the subscribers. We're now at 17,000 on our YouTube. Make sure you guys continue to subscribe. Show your love. Don't just watch our. Like it and subscribe because it helps us. You know what I mean? Like and subscribe because it helps the platform.
Do your thing.
Do the thing.
And when you're watching this wonderful episode with Marina,
here, bro. You gotta
like and subscribe what we're doing, man. You know, don't just scroll by. You like, you don't listen to music, you just skim through it. Just you know, subscribe.
There's too many people that stroll on by.
Absolutely. So, you know,
stop and say hi.
That's the updates, man. I'm feeling good, my brother.
All right. So, we gotta get into the nitty gritty. Marina, what's been going on? How's family? How's life? How's the career?
Oh, man, where do you want me to start? Family's good. My son is turning into a little man. He's not a baby anymore, and it's bittersweet. Yeah,
terrifying.
It is.
I know
terrifying.
That on the lady side because I got two girls. Boys side, I don't know if I can deal with boys. I live vicariously through this man with his son. So I'm like, yeah.
How old is your son?
My son is 11, and it is the scariest thing.
Oh, God.
I'm not saying publicly what had happened. I will not say that on air, but I will say he knows some things that my son is now learning about and has seen. And I didn't know about that till about 17, 18, and this kid's 11. We're already having this birds and bees conversation. Oh, it is scary at 11 years old to have a conversation like that already. But that's just the way the world is. I am,
I'm trying to, like, take my emotion out of it and be like, ooh, he's going to have so much information.
Yes. It's just given to you now.
And, like,
we had to seek it out when we were younger. Now they just throw it at you.
Like,
we
we didn't even want to ask those questions. Like, you know, there's some, so.
Twitter just throws it at your face. I don't follow any of this.
Something that's happening with him now in his growth that you're saying, well, damn, overnight you just learned about this? Was something?
The other day, he's going to kill me. Two weeks ago, he just, you know, got cleaned up and, we're just picking something to watch on TV, and Roddy's just finishing up his dinner, and he'll just be like, and I'm like, what's up, dude? And I'm like, he lifts up his shirt. He's like, Mom, my nipple's sticking out. My nipple's sticking out. I'm like, that's cool.
Roddy, want to handle this one? So with those kind of things, do you
have... It's just, you know, it's pure innocence, and I never want to make him feel like he's out of place or, you know, not allowed or... Because, you know, I had that as a kid, and it just sucks.
With those things, do you like, kind of pass those things on to Roddy? Or is it like, all right, this is mom time.
I'm gonna handle it. It depends. Like, if he's home, I'm always like, I need a tag now.
Yep. Yep.
Like, right now, going home. And when he's not there, I kind of have to.
Yeah.
Well, you know, your dad probably knows a better way to explain this than me, and I just do my best.
Yeah, I feel it.
Yeah,
Okay, so as a mother, is it, what is the biggest adjustments you have to, like, 'cause now you got to think. Like, I understand you're in the
dude, I've been thinking. What are you talking about?
You're in a household with a young boy and another grown man. Like just that, how is that adapting to that? Live and being a mother, trying to balance that work-life balance. Is that tough for you, or have you gotten adjusted to it?
I feel like I've become really good at, like, handle it, move on. Handle it, move on. Because there's just, like, no time for bullshit, really, in my life right now.
Yeah.
You know, and, like, we already, you know, I travel a lot. And I know this is a very special time for, like, my son and his development and his personal stuff going on. Because, like, he's going to really start remembering a lot of this stuff. And, like, I just don't. Adjusting to, like, understanding he's going to feel lonely, that sucks. Especially, like, being away from my husband. I mean, that's a given. I love hanging out with my husband. He's, like, my best friend.
Where Roddy at, man?
I know. He's the man. Yeah, just being away from them kind of, like, sucks. But at the same time, it puts things into perspective for real, whether you like it to or not. Like, I'm not just saying it just because, like, I finally understand why people say it. Like, when you're away from the things that, like, you really love, it hits you. And, like, then like, okay, you know, I feel like a lot of that has been turning on for me lately personally. And it's kind of, you know, like I said earlier, like, everything is relative. Like, the way you do one thing is the way you do everything. And it's all slowly coming around. Had some fun matches this week. And just be interested to see what's going on this week.
Aren't we all?
I know. I know what's going on in the weekend. I get to...
Guess what, though? Tony Khan has another announcement to make.
Oh.
Yeah, I have no idea what it is.
Do you want to play the guessing game?
I think we got a new canvas.
What does that mean?
We got a new canvas for the wrestling ring. That's the announcement. Because at this point, I don't know what else it could be. He's just throwing... I mean, this, like you said, that we're in an interesting time.
Yeah.
Like, you're in an interesting time with your son, but like we're in the most interesting time in pro wrestling ever.
It's so crazy.
So it's like
you
all
you can't
the,
blink, man,
at all. So like it's like a whirlwind of things. So like being a parent, then having to go on the road and deal with the world that we're dealing with as like the as professionals and stuff.
Yeah.
So like once again, like big announcement, big merger sales and stuff going on with the conglom, the high conglomeracy of pro wrestling, the Mecca is yeah. like merging with this, and now like. Big announcement from Tony Khan. He got an announcement with AEW. I'm like, okay, now we got that happening. We have no idea what's going to go on there. And then having to come back home and be a parent and kind of unload all that and bring all that this down yeah. to here is, like, really interesting. It's really different. And, like, that's why I'm – it's being a parent right now is what we do. And our job is so much harder because the world is whirlwinding as with children as well too.
Yeah, like how do you slow it down?
You can't.
Like how do you just like take a beat and like you know, be like, hey, totally normal to take a minute and just think about what just happened, so you can like understand your next move.
It's so hard to make the abnormal normal though. Like you know, like Parenting for Dummies. It's like. I don't. No. That was so much. That book made more, so much more sense 20 years ago.
Yeah, no, it's.
Now it's like we're still trying to figure it out. We don't have, we don't have the advice,
yeah,
really to pass it on yet because we still haven't figured it out ourselves.
Yeah, it's a tough climate to be an entertainer now, especially in this landscape of the world. And then you have children, and then you know you go and you do things, do shows, do your job, and you come home, and then your kids just. They're a boatload of information and know in 1 week they know five different things about the world. And it's just that adapt and you having to adapt as a parent. I feel like we have to adapt more to the way the world is, not saying no disrespect to our parents or grandparents or anything yeah. like that, but it was more of a structured living on how they lived back then without social media and information, you know, that these kids are accessible to now. So each and every day we're just living, we have to adapt. To each and everything, like I could just imagine, especially with you guys being wrestlers, both of you guys being on the road, both of you guys doing what you have to do, and then still trying to raise him into a structured foundation. That's really tough, and it's really hard on us sometimes as parents. We don't have all the answers.
No, we don't.
You know,
absolutely. 100%.
Instead of asking stuff, I'd be like, "Hey, bro, I just tell you how I went through it. I don't have this answer. You yeah. apply it, great. But this is just
experience is the best teacher."
Absolutely.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, but absolutely. At the same time, you're kind of afraid for your kids to experience. So it's like a double. Yep. It's a double.
Yo, I watch my son get his ass kicked at jiu-jitsu like almost every week.
Like, yep, son, been there, done that. Yep. Mm.
He looks at me like, "What the fuck, huh? You're a black belt and you have a fucking purple belt." Like, I'm not like. I feel like I let him down by not, like, giving him these genetic traits of mine that, like, you know, that so I worked really fucking hard to, like, just have be, like, a natural response to things.
But my problem is he looked at you yeah. like, this is, mom, come on.
Yeah, give and me, I'm just like, some. I just look at him, I'm like, get the fuck up. Like, get up, man. Like, you can do it. And as soon as I, like, start encouraging him, he's good.
So did you make a conscious you make a conscious effort? Was it a conscious effort you made not to train him yourself?
Yeah. Because this is what I know. I will coach my son. There will come a time where he will learn from me. Mm-hmm. But he hasn't. It's good for him to put his trust into other people right now.
Absolutely.
That's a good point.
And, like, the other people that his trust is being put into, I trust they will teach him correctly, and they have the same belief systems as me. And, listen, he's just going to keep getting his ass kicked until he decides to not want to get his fucking ass kicked anymore. That's what happens. And he's got to learn that is his decision. And I can't teach him that right now because he, you know.
Weren't we talking with Kenny Omega about this kind of thing?
We dog.
Like,
what is it?
Like, because we talked about like him having like new trainees and new young people in wrestling and stuff. He's happy to bring these new young talents into the wrestling world and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And like he's like and especially get contracts so early, so soon.
Yeah, it's
and,
a lot.
And then we have the feeder system with like the darks and like elevations, and so he can put people in certain places. And I'm like, I kind of want some of them to struggle a little bit, though. I don't want an 18, 19, 20-year-old dude to just get his contract right away. I want him to kind of, like, hurt a little bit, just a little bit. And I don't want him to, like, get taken out, like, a career-ending injuries or nothing like that. But I want I want these kids in the day to, like, feel a little bit of the sting.
Persevere. Yeah. Overcome.
Overcome something. Like, feel a little bit of the sting so at least you know.
Go get tapped out.
Yeah. You now you know how it feels and you want to like prevent that. Now you know like you got to feel these pains a little bit.
You know who does that?
Who's that?
Billy Starks.
Yeah. Yeah, I love
I'm going to keep kicking her ass.
Yeah.
Literally until I can't kick no more ass, man.
That's godmother complex. Like no, you ain't going to get this easy.
I'm your mama now.
Yeah. I love that. But we need that. We need gatekeepers. Be that gatekeeper.
You need to learn. I learned this.
But she wants to learn, too, and she also is very honest and very helpful. Very. She knows how to talk. And, you know, like, you just look at her, and she ends whatever sentence with this goofy-ass smile, and I just want to, like, put my, just, like, face musher.
Yes.
Like, hit her. Like, something.
She's one of the ones I never have a problem just like come here, let me talk to you.
Yeah.
Like, she's one of the
ones. She's always got something to say. It's great.
You gotta learn how to. I always tell people this. You have to learn how to be, you know, how to have adversity, how to be told no, and how to have somebody not believe in you or something and prove them wrong professionally and still be able to do it. Because I think that's you channel that feeling in, but to be able to still be professional and still prove people wrong. Like, I don't feel like, you know, 18, 19, 20 years old, man, look, how does it feel to not have this song work out you put a bunch of money into? Or how does it feel
it
like...
It didn't work. Huh?
Yeah, you believed in it, but the people didn't really believe in it. How are you going to overcome that? How are you going to overcome, you know what I'm saying, dealing with other people? How are you going to watch other people be successful when you feel like, deep down, that should be your opportunity? Or how can you still be professional in that way? I really feel people got to go through that because... People just want it now, man. They want everything. And then when they get it, it'll be some kind of feeling and some kind of gratification to it because they worked hard for it and they believed in it. Not just, hey, man, I want to do this. Okay, so you just want to be, you want it to be given to you?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
No, 100%. What's the quickest method to get to this? I'm like, why would you want it quick? Why do you want it quick? Why do you want it fast? Why
don't
you
man.
Nobody wants to, like, why do you want
it? I completely agree. And this just goes into my...
So, like, how hard is it to, like, pass that on to the son now?
He thinks he could just do stuff. And I keep telling him that, like, listen, you can't just do stuff out in the outside world. Like, we love you, and we're going to love you through these mistakes that you make. But I need you to, you know, understand that everyone else out there, they're not your parents and they're not your friends and they don't know you and they don't know how you are. Mm-hmm. And I say that in like the most gentle, poetic way sometimes. And it's, you know, I remember one time though, I kind of like recently, like a few months ago, we were getting ready for jiu-jitsu in the car because we get there a little early and then he changes in the car and then we go in. And I looked at him and I was like, I know you don't want to be here, and that's okay, but you are going to learn to protect yourself because no one's going to mess with you. No one is going to be able to just push you around and tell you what to do and tell you how to think. This is why you're learning this. So if you don't know what to do when you get in there, just grab them and move them. That's literally all you got. That's where you start. That's it. I'm going to tell you this. Your dad's going to tell you this. So you're not going to ever have an excuse to not even try. Like, how do you teach a kid to just get their hands on something and just like with it a little bit? You know, like, that's the only way I know how. That's what my dad taught me. He put my ass in judo really young. I got my ass beat.
I feel like try is like one of the first lessons you should learn as a child.
Yeah. Anyway. And I told him, I was like, I don't care how many times you fail, you're going to get right back up and you're going to grab them and you're going to move them. And something might happen.
Now, does that relationship bring you back to your childhood? As you said, your father brought you into it. Was that same conversation you had with him? Was it hard for you to understand?
Oh, we never talked about it.
Oh, right.
No. Nobody talked to me about that. Revelations.
Yes.
Yeah. I've had these revelations.
Okay, we're still in that
age. I've had a lot of alone time lately, and we've been thinking about this.
We didn't talk about our feelings.
He was just like, hey, this is what you're doing, bro.
Like, I would lose tournaments. My dad wouldn't talk to me for months.
That's that old school raise.
My dad was like hard, dude. Like, my dad was in the military. He was like he was just a machine, and he was also an Olympic power lifter and did sambo. He got his Olympic certificate revoked in 1974, I believe, because his last name is Jewish.
Ooh. Wow.
Yeah. So, like, there's, like, spite and disrespect, like, wrapped up in his loving self that he dealt with. And, you know, it wasn't fun.
I seen a picture of him. That was your father in the photo
that you posted
on Instagram?
Yeah.
Yeah, I wouldn't mess with dude.
Yeah. Like, he had, like, lobster claws for fingers. Oh, man. Like, he was
freaking Experiment 13. Boy.
Yeah, no, he was a big guy. And, you know, he had this, like, I think I got it from him a little bit. Like, he had this, like, don't fuck with me vibe around him. He'd have to say a thing.
You gonna fight this man?
That's my brother.
Oh, I was about to say. That's my brother.
That's my brother. That is my brother. I'll show you a picture of my dad. Hold on.
Okay, that's what I was like. If that's him.
No. That's my brother. My brother actually has a crazy story, too. He was in, like, the mafia.
Like a crazy story.
Yeah.
That man, look.
My dad.
My boy look like Trevor off of Grand Theft Auto 5, boy.
No problem. OG,
look at,
man.
That's my dad.
Still no.
Yeah.
No still no.
Problem. No. He was.
That's a hell no.
You couldn't fuck with him. And I love that about him. That doesn't happen enough. People are like afraid to, like, I don't know. I do it too much. Defend my shield, but, like, kind of just don't fuck with my vibe. It's too easy. People just allow that. Too easy. I'm really happy, like, you know, Roddy made me aware of, like, me being available too much for people sometimes. I've got nothing left for myself. That's like a real, you know, conversation to have with someone, and, like, you got to take a fucking look at yourself. You're like, oh,
that's a real vulnerable thing to, like, accept that too, not fight, like, there's not deflecting on it in your part.
There is nothing that we, like, can't love each other through. I really 100% believe that. And, you know, that's, like, one of those things that, like, your parents taught you that indirectly because they weren't given that love, you know, that I don't talk to my mom about this, like, she still has nothing to change, you know? Like, she's just... But my mom is the shit. She had to restart her life at 43 when we moved here to America with, like, $200 in her bank account. Like, my mom's a G.
And they found a way. Back in that time, they found a
way. They did. She hustled. And she working 3 jobs, learning English.
Because she found a way.
Yeah. Yeah.
God, leave the times, bro.
I know. And like,
you had no choice.
Literally.
You had no choice. Exactly. It was survival. And when you tap into that survival instinct to survive, you got family, she had kids to take care of, married, she had to do what she had to do to make sure you guys were good and survive. And that's what it's all about. And that goes back to what we were talking
about. Less technology than we have.
You
now.
Know, have right. you guys ever seen that Kevin Hart special, like, where his dad was in it and stuff?
Yeah, yeah.
Yes.
And, like, at the end, like, his dad's just asking for stuff. He doesn't even say no. He's just like, he ends it with, I love you. Like, I'm going to be here for you. Mm-hmm. You know, like, you don't have to, you know, threaten me or, you don't have to threaten me or, like, challenge me by asking me for these things. Like, I got you.
But that's what his dad had to do with his father. So
it's just crazy.
It's wild. Like we, me and him talk about it. We have like these situations with our mothers, you know, and mm-hmm. like, and it's, and you have some, you, it's cool to have someone you can bounce these things, these feelings, these emotions, these thoughts back and forth with.
Amen. Because
it's like, am I tripping?
Yeah.
It, like, you got to always check yourself. Like, am I tripping? Hey, tell me if I'm tripping. Should I be feeling this way? Or do you have this? Like, so we both have those kind of dynamics with our parents, but I don't know how many of those conversations our parents were openly talking about when they were growing up. Okay. It was bouncing their stuff off of their friends and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Just like, they use it as, that's just the way it is.
Yeah.
That's just the way it is. Don't ask questions. Don't, like, no, don't talk about your feelings. Like, hey,
yeah.
Punch you in your chest. Hey, get up. Stop crying. Stop whining. Like,
yeah.
And now we can't do those things nowadays. Now we're so, like, we got to look inward. Now we got to look at our feelings. Like, no, it's okay. Let me take you to a class. Let me take you to, like watch this video of 2 minutes of this on YouTube.
Yeah.
Like, this is going to fix everything. Take this medicine. Take this. Yeah. Take this that.
This whole everybody gets a trophy mindset is, I'm not going to get into that. But you get what I'm saying. Like only place where everybody
just struggling and making, like, it adds character.
Right.
It just adds character. Absolutely. You can't.
I think we need to build Kevlar.
You can't. Yes. You just can't deny it. There's no way of going around it. Like, getting through the muck of life and struggling in something it's a gift.
Absolutely.
But, like, you can't just be flopping around like a fish in there, okay? Like, you need to know that, like, you gotta, like, there has to be some type of an end goal. Like, there has to be, like, a reason that you're going through that. You're not just doing it just because you like pain. Or maybe you do, I don't know.
Yeah.
It's America.
Sure. Show enough is. Is that how, like, it was with your MMA sisters coming up in the game? Talk about that. Like, y'all kind of, like, taking those same practices
in a way, yeah. I mean, like,
or are y'all more like this is what I always wanted, but I'm finding it in you. I didn't get it from my parents and growing up. I got it from you, sisters.
Yeah, like, yeah. When we when the four of us would train, there was definitely like this sisterly bond that would like cloak us, kind of. In a sense, like, to make it all woo woo and spiritual, but like, you know, men just don't have to deal with the shit that we have to deal with.
I agree.
And while we're persevering to hit goals and, you know, just prepare yourself for war, there's like a laundry list of shit that we're dealing with internally that, like,
oh yeah,
I agree.
God damn, like, yeah.
I've always said that.
It's just, I know you guys are dealing with things. I get it. It's just
different spectrums, different.
Man, yeah. It's not the same. And so, I'm not asking for like a, you know, pass or whatever, but it's just, it's hard.
So do you think it's a balance of like women have a longer laundry list of things to deal with, but men have more of burden to carry?
Wait.
In a sense, as being the men in the sport?
Wait, rephrase that for me.
So, like, in the science of things, uh-huh. nature, men are the load bearers. Women are, the
nurturers.
Nurturers and right. stuff. So, like, for women to break into other things, y'all have a lot more barriers to break.
Well, here's the thing is, biologically, I don't think we're ever gonna not be nurturers, because
true.
I think for survival, you need nurturing.
Truth.
That's a whole part of growth. Like, how are you gonna grow a plant? Like
just sun.
I don't know. Like, I don't know. It's just, I just feel like women and men in general, I think just the human race is evolving still. And yeah, we have, because of history, we've had designated roles as far as like what's natural to us. But man, things flop. Sometimes you got to pick up the ball and run, you know, like, and it doesn't matter what it is. You just got to pick it up.
Yeah, we turned into Fresh and Fit here real quick.
Yeah, now. But that's like, going back to, like, you know, yeah.
I understand, like, so I have to ask, because I'm thinking about it neurologically. When you're preparing for war, like I used to do boxing training, and I always remembered the mindset I had to get into to do it. So as a woman, as you said, the things that you're dealing with, like what zone do you have to, like even doing into that, what zone do you have to tap in? It, as much as you will share about the things you might be going through as you're training or you, as you're going through fighting, what are you, as a woman, what are you going through in that sense preparing for?
This is the easiest. It's not heavy at all. It's the easiest shit ever. And this is just across the board. This is like men and women.
Yeah.
The reason is pretty fucking simple. You just gotta like violence. And honestly, I like it. You wanna catch a fucking vibe, put on your favorite music and just start punching the air. You can't not just like, if you throw a punch, you're gonna just like leave, let it lie, like out. I don't care. No, not me. I'm like, what the f-? Come on, Marie, what the f-? Like, I don't know. That's my personality. Yeah. I just like violence, and you know what? I can just say that to another person that likes violence, and they're like, oh yeah, me too. I like violence too. It's right. Like it's and then just
you connect, right?
A commonality, right?
Right, right.
So I mean, that doesn't really depend on the sex. Like using violence to relieve some internal pain, great. Sometimes, you know, it's therapeutic. I've gone into like mitt work sessions, just like zoned in and just emotionally drained, you know, like sad, happy, unsure, insecure, nervous, sure of myself, confident, and springy, light, heavy as fuck, like. It's all relative, man.
What brings you to the point? Because we was talking off camera. You said, and clarify what you was talking about when you said that you would, there's certain things that you would never do again. Is that like the train? What would you like go back and change? You said it's something you would never do again. I don't know exactly. Remember the point of what we
were cutting about. Weight.
Oh,
I would never cut weight again. Like, I mean, I would cut like, if it was like a reasonable number, like, if I was going to do like a grappling tournament and it was 150 pounds and I had 5 pounds to cut, that would be easy. That would be actually kind of fun. And it would just be enough weight to be like, that I ain't never doing that again. Like that's like a really safe amount of weight. But if I don't know if I'd be able to like deplete. I don't like feeling like my brain is throbbing for water.
How much weight have you had to cut like instantly? Like 20,
in the
15
in the
pounds,
court in the course of like 2 days,
yeah, like a long, like a fight, like before a fight comes, like
I think one time I did like 15 pounds
in 2 days.
Yeah,
just all water.
Well, leading up to it, that was like I did a water load and stuff. Yeah, people do more. There's guys who do like 20 pounds that they can handle. It's mostly water weight, but that's what? All water that your muscles hang on to.
Yeah,
it's like a these very
the heavier guys or the low, like the lighter guys?
Like middleweights and like the
170s.
The one, yeah, but even the lower guys too. Like I know Dustin Poirier cuts like 25 pounds. I know for sure.
That's crazy, man.
Like 20 or 25. Oh. Like I, there's just people. Connor, perfect example. Ask him how much that motherfucker weighs right now.
I'm scared to find out. It was like, but he, man, he's a shredded dude. He's like a stack jack dude.
Yeah.
But then understand like. Like his height and body frame and like the amount of weight he has or doesn't have as much anymore to cut. It's like, and you get the weight and he's in the people don't understand. Like you only get older. So it gets harder.
I know.
As you get older.
And you're f***ing up your
Yeah.
It just sucks.
And you're naturally not supposed to, your body's not supposed to naturally do
no,
that.
No, you're also not supposed to lie there at, you know, 2 o'clock in the morning because you can't sleep because you're so f***ing thirsty. And all you f***ing can think about is liquids and food. You're just Instagramming every food ASMR or whatever the fuck it's called thing. You're looking at juicing watermelon. You're looking at like you're looking. It's that
the pillow you looking. Your pillow looking more and more like delicious.
Every, yeah, like and you don't want to go to the grocery store and shop for the things that you want after you cut weight.
Oh, fucking, oh my god.
I mean, you having out here. you having dreams. You thought you saw a turkey, but it's not. Oh man,
yeah.
Like that's a just a mindset that just I never thought of getting into. I can only imagine how like crazy disciplined you have to be for that, and like I already know how like crazy disciplined you have to be in pro wrestling to do some of the things that we do.
Yeah.
But my God, to like go to those lengths at that highest level with other high level competitors and stuff in the world.
Yeah.
It's a different level.
Oh yeah.
It's a different level in intensity.
But it's also like they're just like depleting their body, right? And they're about to go duke it out. It's
yeah, like go into a battlefield.
Yeah, like
like gladiators.
Oh yeah. So it's just the circumstances are nuts, and it's just so easy for people to digest. People, there's people who don't really have to think about it, and be like, man, that's actually, if you really think about it, that's really fucked up.
It's
and
then horrible.
Like
it's
people
awful.
Go into the gym and then they're like, yeah, you can punch me in the face for 3 minutes. I'm cool with it.
This world was made for you. This world was made for you.
I don't know. I think it's, who said that they were ashamed that it was called an art? Some actress said that, like, MMA fighting is like, she's this, what's her name? She was the one who, like,
probably
started,
Brie Larson. If we're going to talk about actresses that say dumb all the time.
she starred in The Devil Wears Prada. She was like the
Anne
boss.
Hathaway? Or, oh,
she was the boss.
Meryl Streep.
Yeah, Meryl Streep said, like, MMA is like barbaric. It's not an art.
Her class of society is just way.
Oh my God, exactly.
Yeah, I'm like, okay,
exactly.
You look down at everything as like,
exactly.
Oh, street dancing. Oh, how barbaric. Oh,
I know.
Oh, but graffiti paint. Oh, she's scoffing at every little thing we do. She's high up there.
That is.
She never had to fight. No. She never had to scrap.
Probably take her. Sorry.
Ooh, baby.
My bad. I love Meryl Streep.
Coming
I
to a
do.
Coming
That's
to a theater
the
near you. Air.
That's why I got the straw.
Do your job, X.
Sorry.
Golly.
So I always ask this.
Oh, I know exactly how I'm going to advertise this episode.
Please don't. No.
I know exactly how we're going to push this to the society, to the world of pro
Roddy
wrestling.
Told me to think. Think. Think.
That's actually what we wanted to go into, like the competitive nature between you and Roddy, and you know, because I've been in the ring with Roddy. Yeah, he reminds me of your father. Anyway, I've been in the ring with Roddy, man, and he's a very competitive guy, great person. One of my favorite, like TZ said, one of his
favorite
people
that I've ever done.
Like with
amazing
the Undisputed Era, specifically Roddy and that whole group. It was awesome. It was fun. But, man, he's a very competitive dude and a very competitive mindset and a motor. And you are a very competitive person.
I don't have the same motor as him, though. Actually, man, I have it in my own way.
Yeah, I must say, it's different levels of it. Like, different tiers and different ways. So, but how is that, like, when y'all both clash on ideas, philosophies, and in combat? Because he's a combatant. You're a combatant. Things that you think work may not he think will work.
You listen. Listen.
You know, great pro wrestler, you MMA. What do you got to call bull on some of the things that.
All I'm going to say is because I really believe that.
The juice. Be the problem. Solve the problem.
It's, we always end up understanding each other.
You know what?
We do.
Did it take a while to get there?
It still does.
Ah, there we go.
It still does.
Humans, yes.
But that is why he is like one of my favorite people. Like, if I can communicate with him about something, I can communicate with anybody. And that's just, I just, but like,
also the other way around too.
Exactly. And like, I love arguing with him. It's my favorite thing in the world.
That's what women do. They love it.
I say, that's when neurological stuff starts kicking in, man.
And
nature at its core.
The human nature, bro.
Listen, it's all good.
That's all I need.
He's my number one fan. And listen, if I ever do something stupid, he's the only one I expect to tell me. You know what I'm saying?
So if he calls you on it, you more respect it coming from him.
I mean, right now talking about it, yeah, that's a lovely idea. But like when he calls me and he's like, hey, that was stupid. I'm like, what the f-? Like,
why'd you say take her on that episode, bro? What were you thinking? Come on, man. We taught you better than this. Come on, wrestling media. You know how they be.
That's the person you need, though. That's what you need.
But you also have to understand there's this other side of him that is like so completely opposite of that.
I've never seen it.
No, and you probably won't ever.
Probably not.
Right.
And, you know, it's probably.
Shout out, Roddy.
It's like, you know, it's. You're right. He's a very special human.
That's a great dynamic. You know what I mean? Because sometimes you don't know it. When you're with somebody, it takes a while to kind of figure out what your dynamic is. And then once you kind of let the guard down and they let their guard down and you really know him, you're like, you know what? I really rock with this person. And you get to see a side that when he probably goes out that door and close that door, he doesn't show anybody else. But you get to see it. Your son gets to see it. And that's the great dynamic that you get to have. You
know? It's because he's a crazy motherfucker. And I also really fell in love with the way that he wrestled. Like, that, I think it's what he did. And it's what he, like, is still capable of doing.
My dog wasn't holding nothing back. And he was like,
no, he's wrestling like he never wants to go back to the trailer park. And
hey,
you can't turn that off. That is the only thing that wrestling fixes and eases for him for just a split second.
Right.
And, you know, a lot of people can't say that.
Yeah, tell the victims that he's laid waste to over these many years. Like, this is why he's doing this, man. This is why your back hurts. This is why your vertebrae's twisted.
So what are some of the things that you guys, if there is anything outside of, you know, sports you guys connect on, what do you guys like to do? What are some of the other connections that you guys have? You guys like to travel. What do you guys like to do together?
We do like a lot of, like, right now because we have a house. Like, our house is like our extracurricular activity. Like, we love our house. We love doing stuff around our house. But we do like a lot of family stuff too. Like, play a lot of games with each other. Like, it's just honestly like commercial.
like a Nintendo Switch family.
I mean, we do. We don't really play Switch. We like to be up in people's faces. Like, Connect Four.
Okay, that's how I know this is a dangerous family. Who gets in somebody's face about Connect Four, my brother?
But Troy starts.
Like, who gets in anybody's face?
I'm about to let you know I'm about to jump you.
He's like this. No, I'll tell you how it is. He's like this, and I'm like, don't want to do that. Probably don't want to do that.
Like, what do you mean, hey, son? Y'all took that red and blue way too seriously, son. Yo, you on my side? You on my block, son? You got three over here, too? I'll cross you real quick with this two blue right here, homie. Not like, too real.
You know, you sitting there playing checkers when you're like, you know, I'm about to triple jump your shit. Like, go ahead. Just make eye contact. Like, all right, yeah, go ahead.
That's what I say. Competitive.
Triple jump their ass.
Yeah.
Competitive. And that's how I know they're competitive. You ask what they like to do together, and they say compete.
That's no, why I ask two fighters.
We like, what, no. We like.
Y'all like to fish.
We like.
Y'all like knit sweaters, mug. Like.
Yeah, we knit sweaters.
Oh, God, no.
Lots of sweaters.
I'm sorry, Troy.
What do you mean? He's a PWG baby.
Lord.
So, you know, with that, like, we do listen to music a lot.
Yeah, that's where we connected the most on music.
Like, we have rock. Like, we were gifted a like microphone and like a karaoke set, and we will jam out as a family, jam out, me and Chris. We haven't in a while, but like, we used to like just listen to music and just drive around, and we It's fun.
See, we need to come over.
Bro. Like, legit.
Hit that mic, bro.
Legit. Like, we Troy, if Troy wants to catch a vibe, he is not afraid to tell us.
Top rope, catch a vibe.
Legit.
Listen, that is amazing. Now, the question that I have with that is, what music is playing during this?
Oh, God.
During this.
Follow up.
Now, what is playing? Are we into the, I'm going to make fun of this right now. Are we into the Limp Bizkit wrestling rock rap mode of slam, hold it down. Show them who's around. Yeah. Or are we in
down with the brown?
Down with the brown.
Brown upside down.
Off the top rope. Yeah.
Yeah.
Or are we in the
2 feet in your nose?
Oh, are sure. we? I gave you a little taste.
Oh,
she actually knows.
No, she did. She did throw a freaking left hook at me one time with a track. I was like, this is what Troy.
I was gonna play it for him.
Oh yeah. All
okay.
Right,
okay.
Right,
ready?
Let it go.
And then I'll play you like a complete opposite one.
We do not own the rights to these to these records.
Oh, somebody
here
gonna, is somebody gonna?
No, nobody is. I just say that.
If you
all rights reserved to the artist. So.
All right. Mm-hmm. Hold on, make sure. That's Troy's favorite part.
Yo, that karaoke in that house be live.
Yo, but then we also have like right now he's into like the Jaws theme.
That's very.
It's so dramatic.
She was a violent person. She said this at the beginning of the show.
Yeah.
Like, you want to defend yourself at judo class and the ocean. Here we go.
But
we watch a Jaws.
He gets a lot of love, too. We love that. We love that kid to death.
Yeah, y'all do. Yeah, y'all do.
And then I kind of... Okay, don't laugh at me. But okay. I pulled one up from like back in the day that he loves.
There's a good chance we'll laugh at you. DBZ on the track. DBZ on the track.
Baby boy the prince. Oh, this is the way I live, y'all. This ran 06.
He knows the lyrics to that whole song.
That and
hard.
That and that's when that and like Young Berg was out, bro.
Yeah.
Bring it back.
Oh my God. What yo?
Yeah.
What? And that's all that man had, but that's all he needed.
All right, I'm one more.
Oh,
one more.
You are blessing.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry because I know you guys speak in music. So this is a complete left one, and he acts like he doesn't like it right now. But
keep playing it in karaoke, he'll get it.
Wow. We don't ride enough to this song, bro.
We don't ride enough, bro.
We got a 2-hour drive today.
Dog.
And we did not play no bad boy.
Dog.
All right, well, who's the artist? Nobody ever knows.
Inner Circle.
Jericho and them? What?
I never knew who made this. I just know the song.
I never knew.
He loves the lyrics. You put it on your father. You put it on your mother. You put it on your sister and your mother. It's like he loves that song. There's a lot more too. Like this kid's music taste is top notch. I gotta say,
gonna be a triple OG, man.
For real, like he.
You building G-Eazy right now? You don't even know it. That boy gonna be a triple threat, bro.
That's all I'm saying. You see him every week. Just remember my face next to him because pretty soon he'll be like, I want to get into music. Like,
yeah,
come
no,
on us.
We don't worry.
He
come
like
on us.
I wish you guys. Well, you'll eventually see it. Like when he feels it and he feels himself. Like he's just like moving and he'll start break dancing. He'll like put on a jacket and a hat because he just wants to chill. Like he wants to catch a vibe. Like he just wants to.
You need to chill.
Yeah, man. It's the best. Chill.
You building the coolest, cool. This boy gonna run for president in 2060.
Oh, I'm voting.
I'm voting.
Yeah, I'm voting for him.
I know you got good roots, kid. You got good roots.
He's singing "This the Way I Live," and he gonna be all right.
Yeah, you gonna be all right.
Fine. He gonna be all right.
You gonna be all right. You gonna be Enterprise soon, bro.
I
respect it.
Yeah.
But man, so we gonna fast forward a little bit, man. Change pace. Go over to the AEW side, man. You getting mentored by 3-time AEW World Champion John Moxley, one of the, honestly, like, the top minds in pro wrestling right now that are actively still going. You know, like, one of the, like, honestly, pioneers of AEW in a sense, man. You could sue, like, he wasn't one of the core original guys, but godly, would this place not be what it is without him?
Yeah, I think.
Yeah, so how's that been under that?
I'm sorry. I got excited.
That's a good thing.
You know what? Like, it's really cool because he just gives me, like, a little feedback after my matches, and I just, I don't know. It's so, I feel like he states some obvious sometimes, like, I just don't see. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
And, like, you know, maybe it's just, like, the way that he has said, like, a few things to me that I just, like, I don't know. I just absorb it a little bit better. But, like, his perspective on that I do is very interesting. And, like, some of the things that he has suggested for me and I tried clicked. And, like, you know, I just, at this point, I just really have to take it one match at a time. I'm not trying to, like, I know my role. Like, I still have some work to do, but I'm not very far off, and I'm not going to be very far off for, like, a long time. Like, it's going to be clicking for me, whether it wants to or not. And he's definitely helping me kind of, like, fuse that together. But I also don't feel like I'm stretching myself thin. Mm-hmm. I get to, like, really, I'm not being told. This is such a special opportunity that is here right now. Like, I'm literally getting an opportunity to really learn how an authentic me operates within this system. And I can't fuck it up. That's how I feel. That's, like, I need that pressure. I need, so it forces me to, like, and chill out and just enjoy this process, because this is a moment of my life. And that's kind of, like,
you know what they say, man, 1% a day is 365% for the year, man.
That's what I'm saying. And I think it's really cool how this all started from, like, we had a meeting. We had one of those meetings, mm-hmm. and they were like, let us know if you need some help. And everybody left, and I just went up to him, and I'm like, I need some help. I want to work. Like, yeah.
How does it feel to have that? Somebody who's accomplished so much, and somebody, you know, that has your back. Sometimes when we are in our line of work, it's hard to find peers that we can trust and take us, you know, under the wing and really believe in something that we want to do, with you knowing that he's coming with good intentions. He wants you, he sees where you're at in the future, you know what I mean?
And yeah.
And being able to give you that advice, how does that feel to have that person to be able to talk to? Because we all need that person, you know what I mean? Essentially, to be able to say, hey, am I doing the right thing? Are these things, you know, am I going in the right direction? You know what I mean? We are that for each other and what we do.
You know? Yeah, because you guys understand each other.
Right.
Like, you know where you want it to go.
Right.
I'm still formulating that destination for myself. It's becoming a little bit more clear.
Gotcha.
It's really interesting because, like, I just never thought, like, I was so open-minded of, like, where all this was going to kind of go, and I never thought I'd be in this position for some reason. Mm. But, like, this has been a...
What position do you think?
Being a force to be reckoned with and not just something else.
Okay.
You know, like, like, this is a real opportunity for me to double down on myself and over-dedicate on some things, because I know, like, what I'm up against. I turned 35 this year, but I'm in my prime. Mm-hmm. I work really hard to keep my body intact. It's really hard work to do that every day. If I miss a day, it hurts. you know, and like I've had to like really double down on my because I do believe that I can offer some change to the women's division and push it in a better direction. But in order to do so, I just got to like pony the fuck up, you know?
What do you think those things require? Especially like still relatively new in the wrestling business.
Yep.
And all the things that you learned, that you found out that even like maybe your mind has changed about opinions on certain things of it, just because the more that you get pushed out there to perform in it, mm-hmm. you're going to get new experiences, you're going to get new thoughts, and those things are going to evolve and change a little bit. So what are the things that now that you feel like, I would say, necessarily add to the wrestling business, but you see where you slate yourself in it to make the change?
I think you told me this in passing, and it's the same thing that I've been, like, my pedigree, everything that I've done up to this point should matter. I didn't break my body over and over and over again to just be in this position and then just be like, oh, yeah, but that's like, you know, that's so long ago. No, I accomplished some as a young person that, like, I believe that I'm in that percentage, that special percentage of taking certain risks, just like you, in the fields that you are interested in. Mm-hmm. And I was lucky enough to be beside some people who took some risks on themselves and also understood that it was much bigger than them. And very early on, they weren't up their own assholes. And they were reminded of what was important consistently. And, you know, I don't know, like, I just, my matters, and I feel like what I can offer to the rest of the women's division is individuality, and like the chances that you took to learn new things in your life, they can matter if you know, understand how to like utilize them correctly.
I feel like you can base your entire meaning of being on that company, being in AEW, as that baseline right there. I matter, everything matters.
Yeah.
That's such a small morsel of a nucleus of a nugget that it can naturally grow.
Yeah.
And you can watch it take you where it needs to be rather than just like trying to travel and move around and motion and stuff and hoping you grab something on the way.
Right.
That's why I see a lot of the industry. It's like everybody's just doing this hoping they snag something in the process.
That's one of the many conversations that I have with Roddy too. Like, because he's been around it for so long and
he's seen so many different evolutions.
Oh, yeah. And, you know, I think sometimes even he has a hard time understanding. I'm just like a different beast. Like, I'm just different. And I enjoy that about myself. I'm really, like, really understanding that more. And, yeah, just... It should bring the competitiveness back. It should bring some of like the,
okay.
Like, why not? You know, like all this contrived bullshit, yeah. All this, like anybody can fucking wrestle. Like let's do it a little bit. And if you're good at something, say it, go with that. You know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. Really bring the strengths up. You don't want to go into a fight and be like, hey, ankle hurts. A little fucked up. Like, you're not going to do, you know what I'm saying? Like, you're not going to go into a fight and be like, yeah, man, I'm not going to be throwing this left jab very often. No, I'm going to just turn this other way. Like, you can't, you're not going to do that. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Like, you really, I just try to tell the girls, like, listen, I'm going to fuck you up, but it's us against the men here, okay? Like, maybe that's even a concept I don't understand yet, but I just know that the real competition isn't each other. It's y'all. Said what I said.
I said it. I live it. No. Now
maybe that might get me canceled. Who knows?
Women don't get canceled. What are we talking about? what about like the name me one X Psy. Name me one canceled woman.
Amanda Bynes.
That's a whole nother speech. That's a whole different thing. That's a little different. But I would say like, so what do you say about like, I think before you fight the people in the locker room, I feel like we're fighting the critics before we even get to the ring. Like, what do you say about
that gift culture? Yeah. Wrestle like you're going to wrestle for a gift.
Yeah. Like, what do you say about the people that are like, not against it, but they're like skeptical. They're skeptics on your philosophy, your style, your experience. They just don't believe, because I feel like those guys, a lot of these reports and these like forums out there, they always like to live in the present. What they see now, what is given, what like, and that's where they kind of stamp you as what is now. They live and make their money on the current. They don't make their money on predicting the future. They try to, and they like when say it happens, they like to once again bring it back to the now, but they're not investing in futures. They're investing in now. Mm-hmm. And the now is kind of like where we exist in it, but mm-hmm. our mindset is future. And that's why we make the money that we do. That's why we have the careers that we do. That's why you are still here, because you weren't thinking of the now back when you were 23. You look to the future when you got to 27. Then you look to the future again when you got to 31. Then you look to the future again to get you where you are now. Mm-hmm. That's why you have a career that you do. That's why you can constantly keep evolving and moving and pushing to be in a women's division, to be in a position to help build it, because we look to the future of building a women's division. But a lot of these reports and these reporters and all that stuff, they live in the now because that's where things are happening. Things happen now. Things happen now. No, let's not look to the future, because that's not a guaranteed asset of money. I can't make money off of the future. They make money off of the now.
I don't know these people.
And that's that's not the problem.
No,
that's
it's good. An
you
issue.
Shouldn't know them. It's but an issue. They know you. So who's working who?
You know, I just think these people probably didn't get enough love from their moms, and I'm sorry for that.
You talking about they still in the basements, bro?
Hey, they ain't loving on them. But it's just sad, because like they're allowed to have opinions, you know, and that's pretty much where it starts and ends. They're allowed to have opinions. I'm not gonna really divulge in talking about them, because it doesn't really make sense. I'm not gonna tell somebody they're not allowed to like think or feel what they're doing. Like it's not on me. Mm-hmm. I know in my heart of hearts that like I'm on the right path, and maybe they don't see it right now, but we're cooking.
With that said, with everything that you said that you're working towards, things that you're building, things that you're figuring out, and things that you find in, you know what I mean, about yourself as you grow, what are even in just AEW or even in life as well, but you can say AEW specifically, what are your goals? What are you shooting for? Like, are you shooting, like, you know, not only just to be champion, but as your career grows, you know what I mean, and you're becoming one of the top stars in the business, what are your goals that you have written for yourself that you want to accomplish?
In general, I really just want to be a difference maker, whether it be in the ring, backstage, you know, it professionally. I just want to be a difference maker. Like, I'm not trying to rob anybody of anything. I want to bring out, I guess, I just want to bring something else out in myself and do it authentically and have it matter. And I know that's a little bit general, but like,
right.
It's that's honestly, I couldn't tell you that a few months ago. I couldn't tell you that. Like, yeah. You know what I'm saying? Like, it just doesn't. But then, like, in layman's terms, I want to be able to figure out how to quadruple my value. Because I feel like I could. And I feel like that's a possibility. Or maybe I'm just crazy and I, you know, I'm going to learn that lesson. You guys just, I'm just obviously, like, saying it. Like, you guys are, I'm going to figure out if I can or not. And I, no, to
you
put
know,
that.
We,
to,
you know you can. You just got to figure out when can you do it.
Yeah, because it's timing. It's like
yeah.
all of the special ingredients that go into wrestling, which make it so awesome.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like, you, it, the if the thought has entered your mind, you know you can do it. Mm-hmm. It's just a matter of, like, how do I compile all this information to get it to where I need to go?
Yeah.
To do it.
Yeah.
That's all it is. For me, I honestly, speaking on experience, I have a lovely group of men right here around me that can also attest to this. Build a team. You build a team. That's the I.
And that's what we're doing right now. Baby steps, like literally.
Yes, exactly. It takes time because it's also finding the right teammates.
Yeah.
Not everybody can just be in the team.
Yep.
And the team can't be 35 people.
Yeah.
Yep. Absolutely. And everybody has to serve their purpose, know their role, and that brings nothing but, you know, that brings acceleration to not only the team, but the overall plan. You know what
yeah.
I mean? And that's when everything will grow. Like, you don't have to have everything figured out right now. You just have to keep going. And that's the thing. And then everything naturally just comes around you. You find different people. You learn different things. Different people on your team comes along, and then it happens. You don't have to say, oh, well, you know, in 3 years, I want to be world champion. Or like, in 3 years, I want to have a hit record on the radio. Like, it's not, it doesn't work that way. You have to, if that's the long-term goal, that's good. But like you said, you're figuring it out. You're taking it day by day, and you're just going it. You're going it a day at a time. Then everything, the force field is just going to come around you.
Yeah.
And then it'll come to you. Then you say, you know what? I think realistically, you know, I could do this in this period of time. But you answer in that the perfect way, because everybody just wants to go here, but they miss all this.
Yeah.
I just feel like I've also done that enough in my life where I just don't want to miss all that stuff. Especially for Troy, like, he needs to see it. Yeah. Like, he sees me and Roddy just, like, we work relentlessly to keep our bodies healthy. And we, like, I'm not a materialistic person, but, well, I spend $250 on an IV. I will do it. I will sit me in that chair, stick me. Like, that is just, that's like, our luxury for ourselves. Because, like, we know how important staying healthy is, and it just, plus it's our love language, and I don't know, like, I had people in my life, my dad was, like, a very athletic guy, but, like, towards the end of his life, he just kind of, like, killed himself with, like, smoking and drinking, very, like, slow death. He had a heart aneurysm, his heart, like, valve exploded, and he... It's somebody who just, like, who couldn't move anymore, who just fucking had to drink it away. And it's just, you know, I know how important, like, it's just important for me. I just want to stay as healthy as possible so I could just beat the shit out of Troy for the rest of his life.
My mama can still beat my ass.
I'm saying.
This is, man. Like, y'all laugh. It's possible.
Yeah, I see my mom.
Like, that's how I was raised.
Yep. No, I'm like, there's two people I'm afraid of, Brock Lesnar and my mom.
That's hilarious.
And I'd open the door to go against Brock before I go against my mom.
So, like, when I was younger, yo, my mom still has the most vicious right hand I ever seen. Like, it's different, man.
I mean, I don't beat my child. I just, like, pin him down sometimes, and I'm just like, hey, man, you can't just come up to mommy and just punch her in the stomach. You can't do that. You just can't do that.
Like, listen now. This is going to end very badly.
Yeah. But he's a boy too, so it's like it's crazy.
I'd fight my dad in his prime before I fight my mom now.
Facts. Yeah, I wouldn't fight my mom's. Like, my mom's different.
Matter of fact, I've watched my mom fight. Yeah. I've watched my mom get in fights, and I'm like, nope.
Yeah.
I think that traumatized me as a child.
That woman beast is different, man. Women beasts are different. I just, you know, I nothing but love to y'all, man. Nah, man, cause I swear, man.
That's Altered Beast right there,
like,
fam.
Like, when my dad telling me something when I was younger, I'd be like, all right, man, you know what I mean? And I'd get it. But my mom's looking at me different, and, like the it's hard to explain, man. It's different. And like he said, it's different coming from moms, man. It's just a different type thing. The respect level different. You know what I mean?
Yeah, there's judo, and then there's mom foo.
Yeah.
You know mom, both.
Yeah.
So, yeah. New.
Yeah.
Man. Let's get into the fun. All right, what are we watching nowadays? What's on television and the movies? It's like, what's popping? I just saw the Blue Beetle trailer earlier today. I rocks with it.
Blue Beetle trailer?
Yeah, it's a not Disney. DC. It's a DC.
I'm going to check that. I got to check that out.
Check it out. The trailer looks actually good. Like, it's a DC superhero, Blue Beetle. And right now, I think DC been doing a little bit better with these trailers than Marvel as of late.
Oh, the Flash. Yeah, the Flash does look really good.
Flash looks dope.
I did see the Flash one.
I ain't gonna front. Flash is kind of dope.
Flash does look good. What movie did we just recently watch?
I saw the new Creed.
I still ain't seen it yet.
No, I haven't seen it either.
Sure, I haven't seen it.
Last movie I seen was Scream 6, and I was kind of a little let down.
I've
never seen so many ineffective stabs. And a slasher movie. Was it? They just doubled down on the same problem? All right, now it seems like Scream's afraid to kill people now. I'm like, come on. We're at the franchise. Like, y'all afraid to let these characters go now.
Sometimes
so, like,
you stabbing
4'11" Jenna Ortega in the spine.
Yeah,
how's she running?
You can make too much of something sometimes. Like, it should have ended at a certain point. Like, just because the franchise keeps making money doesn't mean you have to keep making them. Like, at some point, you got to know, like that song goes, you got to know when to hold them and know when to fold them, bro. You already know what I'm saying, that, right? You got to know when to fold the cards, bro. Like, you've done everything you could do. Like, this Creed movie was good, but the story, the writing was all over the place.
Word. Okay. I haven't been hearing that lately.
I'm not going to.
He want to be the Joker so bad, bro.
He does.
So bad. Look at him. What
does that run?
That is exclusivity of you don't know who the hell you are. But that is like, you know, it's different. Like with movies, you know, the mom gets it. I'm spoilers. So, you know, and then this thing like happened? This happened. The moms get sick. Then his homeboy, you know, comes out of jail and he wants to fight the homeboy. Then the wife is dealing with this. You know, she is hearing impaired. Then he's going through this with himself. And then the trainer says, like, it's a whole bunch of stuff. It's a whole bunch of stuff. And then all of a sudden they fight. And it's like, bro.
We got to solve X, Y, Z,
Sylvester,
A, B.
Sylvester did a great job in Rocky movies of tying everything together. Yes, it was a
little
sappy sometimes.
No, but he knew to do that.
Right, he knew to do that.
That's his franchise. Right. He knows that.
He knew how to tie everything together. So when Adrian was alive going through this thing, it happened. When he was going through his sickness, it happened. There was a reason. They dove deeper in it. Creed 4, the last Creed was just like a bunch of just stuff.
Plots.
And then they swinging and fighting, and then he wins and match over. It's like...
Well, now I gotta
missing
see
the
it.
Details.
I plan on seeing it.
Now I have to see it.
I have to see the new John Wick. I have to see that.
Oh my God, me too.
I'm missing
violence.
So
I heard it was so good.
I heard it's amazing. So, with your background in MMA, is it difficult for you to watch like certain fighting movies?
No.
Or you go like, all right, come on, man, you just gave him the arm.
No, they do it right. Okay. You know what's funny is the guy who is John Wick's stunt double.
Coordinator or double?
Double.
Okay.
Stunt double and coordinator, I think, actually. Ooh. I got to double check on that. He owns a studio in Marina Del Rey, 8711, that I actually went to a few times. I got hooked up with it through Eric Paulson. Okay. Who trained Josh too, Josh Barnett. We went to his brain like is insane for that.
I love seeing those guys, man.
I love talking to them. It's insane. I just have a massive like they just know how a scramble kind of can go like with two high level fighters, I guess.
There's that, but there's like a art to like making it into a cinematic way too.
Did you see Everything All at Once?
Yes.
So like that incredible. Was fantastic. There was professional wrestling in it.
Yes.
It was so good.
It was so good.
It was so good. It won, and like I watched the movie.
Deserved
twice.
Every award that it won too.
Jamie Lee Curtis was fantastic in it.
All right. That's one thing. I know y'all like are so out there like upset and pissed off that Angela Bassett did not win Best Supporting Actress over Jamie Lee Curtis. Jamie Lee Curtis deserved to win.
Dude, she had hot dogs as fingers. Come on.
Yeah. Like, Jamie Lee Curtis had a way more crazy, more difficult, first of all, she had action scenes, like crazy action scenes. Angela Bassett did some, too. But Jamie Lee Curtis had, like, so much more difficulty, and the concepts were, like, so much more broad.
Yeah.
She deserved to win that. Let's stop the hashtag this, cancel this.
And
like
we said earlier.
I'm like, I know she's black, great, one of the greatest black actresses of all time, if not the greatest, but Jamie Lee Curtis deserved to win. I'm sorry.
Bro, and like we said earlier, bro, not everybody can win, bro. There's only one award, dog.
But everybody can lose.
Jamie Lee Curtis is a G. She's been in like a lot of very interesting roles in her entire.
By far the most interesting, though.
Yeah.
By far.
She's culmination.
She's one of the few people in Hollywood you don't hear anything bad about. She's naturally a good person.
Yeah. That's awesome.
That's a good thing.
So I know like everybody trying to get mad and the hashtag Angela Bassett should have won whatever the bull she's trying to get started. Ain't gonna work.
How would she wear hot dogs for fingers?
And Angela Bassett wasn't like only in like 30 minutes of the movie compared to Jamie Lee Curtis being all the way through. And she was the best part of the movie. The best movie of the year. Come on. Like, what are we doing? That's one of those things I can't say it's a white black thing. I can't say it. No, like she literally had the better role, and the more difficult, challenging role too. In a better movie. I'm sorry.
Hey man, Jamie deserves her for her flowers. Angela does too. But guess what? There's always opportunities, and there only could be one winner. So you know, if you don't get it, everything ain't got to be canceled. Everything ain't got to be canceled. So.
You know what? Roddy just actually finished watching. We watched it. I watched like a few episodes with him. He watched that Rick Rubin documentary where like he.
I didn't see the doc.
Yeah. Like where they like make music and stuff.
Oh,
like what's it called?
I have no idea.
What's it called?
I'm in.
Okay, hold on. It was actually really.
His philosophy on making music.
Yeah.
Is Emmy worthy how he creates, how he thinks, how he helps artists make music.
Yeah.
He's such a Zen type person. It's amazing how he does it.
Shangri-La.
Yeah.
It's like the house that like that he sends artists to, and it's like
Darby just went there.
Shut up.
Yeah, he just posted it.
Really? Yeah. That's cool.
He told me it was going, but last week at TV. But Darby just showed up there.
Yeah, like it's he's like he doesn't wear shoes. He's connected to the earth, and there's like. There's nothing that you don't need. Matt? I know. What is going on?
That's Matt, the dude that we're fanning in the corner?
That's
who sponsored our podcast.
Yeah.
Oh, that was a TV time. Anyway, continue.
No, It's just that. It's just like a house for artists to like really be artists.
Yes.
And it's cool. It was cool. I didn't get to watch the whole thing, but from the few episodes that I watched, it was pretty awesome.
I would love to like just take like a day there. I don't need a week, but just a day or two.
I mean, if Darby went,
I don't know. Put in a word. I met. Remember when he came?
Yeah,
to the
PC? Came. Yeah. I remember that.
That was cool. I was like,
you know, I didn't even know who he was at that time.
Oh, I knew like.
I'll say it. I didn't know.
I didn't know the man.
I didn't know the man, but you know the name.
That's
I do, and then the pieces started coming together. I'm also very bad with names. It's bad.
Me and O'Reilly got out of the parking lot together, and we were walking over, and we were just like, "Is that Rick Rubin?" He's like, "Dude, I think that's Rick Rubin." So we just started walking over, and I was like, "It's Rick Rubin." I'm like, that's "If funny. There's any place he's going to be here in Orlando, Florida, this would be here." I've just started. I'm in the middle of. I think I have like two more episodes left of Swarm. Swarm has been excellent.
What is that about?
It's on Amazon Prime. I don't want to tell you.
Oh, shit.
It's basically, it's like this chick is really obsessed with like this Nyjah artist. but it's a play on Beyonce and the fan base, the rabid fan base that Beyonce has on social media. Like, you know, like their fans on Twitter will hashtag and cancel you and stuff like that.
Right.
So, or they have like this rabid, like crazy fan base. So this girl is like super obsessed with her, like overly obsessed with her. And, she literally like had credit cards like canceled and went through like 3 or 4 or 5 credit cards or whatever and went broke to afford tickets to go see her time and time and time and time and again.
Holy moly.
And so she finally like,
that's nuts.
So she finally, her sister ends up dying or whatever. And now she correlates like not the artist with her sister dying. And now she goes insane. So now anybody that talks about not just not the greatest artist or whatever, she finds their location, hunts them down and like kills them. It's crazy. But like, and like it's obsessive. Like she'll like move to the state and like be there for like months trying to track this person down.
Are you kidding me?
Gets a job, changes her identity to track this person down on social media to kill him. Donald Glover directs the show. So it's shot like Atlanta.
Oh my God.
Yeah. It's on Amazon Prime. It's like a quick watch, 8 or 9 episodes, 30 minutes each episode. And you're like, somebody's going to freaking, something's happening. And then like whenever she starts getting that tick to hurt somebody, you'll hear like buzzes.
Oh my God. Good. I'm good.
No, you got it's really good.
I really
good
don't
show.
Want another reason.
No more violence in the household.
Yeah,
I don't know.
That's
Swarm.
Crazy.
Swarm has been killing it for me. I can't wait to see. I got to finish the last 2 episodes. It won't take long, but I got to get through that. But it's so good. Donald Glover is going to take over Hollywood as a director. His eye for for cinematography.
Yeah.
Him, Jordan Peele. Those guys are in like
Jordan
same.
Peele's really great.
They're in like that same realm and stuff. And Billie Eilish has an episode. Like she's not like a scene. She has like a full episode. Like she's like an actual good character. I'm like, yo,
that's amazing.
Yeah, they're implementing people in the show really well. Like Damson Idris from Snowfall is a character on there. Chloe Bailey. Yeah, that's like episode. That's like the first like minute of the episode. It's like Chloe Bailey and him have a sex scene. So the Twitter went crazy because Chloe Bailey's showing her body and stuff.
Wow,
it's nuts. It's a good show. It's really good. And Snowfall has been killing it. Like I'm seeing tweets of people who have died in the episode, and I'm behind. I'm like, oh, okay, thanks guys.
Dang, I heard about Snowfall.
Snowfall is excellent. It's on its final season.
Dang,
so.
What are we watching?
I actually just started watching Snowfall. I actually started catching up on. I actually restarted watching The Wire over again so I can understand it, like now as an adult, what The Wire was.
Right.
And how everything is like chess pieces on the board of how
that's
the Wire
one. That's
shot.
The one we need to dive into, yeah, is that.
I started going back to watch it and I was like, damn, this is really interesting on how it's built. The whole show is built on chess pieces. So if you break down the show, the way people move and the way things are being positioned in The Wire is according to a chessboard, like the people, like the drug dealers and stuff like that. It's really interesting once you watch
Snowfall.
It's
kind of like that.
Kind of like
sense,
that,
too.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah, it's a great thing. It's a great show when you really like analyze, like you read, like let's say you listen to the analysis without the spoilers and then you go watch the episodes. It's crazy. Now that I watch it from being a teenager to now as an adult, it's an amazing show. You should really check out The Wire and just really watch the position of power and the struggle and how it works.
I'm down with that.
Yeah, Breaking Bad did that for me too. That's how me and Edge became friends. We talked about like the breakdown of analysis of characters because if you watch on YouTube,
Breaking Bad was great.
Oh man, they like the colors of why they wear the shirt and like this camera angle this way showing this. This is the meaning of that. Why he cried here but didn't hear, why everything just links and makes so much sense to like the culmination of the final part of the season.
Yeah.
It's so good. It's brilliant stuff.
We did watch Better Call Saul. That's it.
Better Call Saul is excellent.
That one was really good.
I forgot my man's name. What's the man's name that I forgot his name? The restaurant owner. I love his character. the light skinned guy
from Better Call Saul.
No, from Breaking Bad. Light skinned guy when he died, he died from the explosion.
Oh, face fell off. His name was Gus.
Gus. Love his character. Yeah. I love that character.
Yes. Esposito. Oh,
my God.
What's his name? Giancarlo Esposito. Yeah, Esposito is his real name.
I follow his Instagram.
And now every time you see him now, you're like, you got to watch it.
Yeah. I love that dude.
I didn't like him in Maze Runner, though.
I never saw Maze Runner.
It's a really bad movie.
Good. I won't waste my time on it.
Was it Maze Runner? Or was it something else? He was in it, though, right? I'm not tripping, right? It's him in, like, I don't know. It was him in, like, that, the attire of, like, the world ended attire, like the Max, like the Mad Max attire, like, oh, just cloth and stuff in the desert because everything died. Those shows. I'm tired of them. I'm tired of those movies.
Yeah.
I'm tired of those. End of the World is
I'm not a fan either. Like, we know.
Except Last of Us. Last of Us did it well.
Oh.
End of the World, last and zombie movies and all. We done seen them. We done maxed that out, King.
Yeah, they can run. They can sprint. They can evolve. They can climb each other.
But now you're immune because you got bit, but something in your neurological system, you didn't die. So now you're the only survivor. You get it. Then what's the one with Will Smith and Michael B. Jordan?
I Am Legend. That's coming back soon, too. Yeah, so... Well, thank you for coming in, reminiscing.
I seriously appreciate you having me.
Oh, man.
It was a really good time.
Oh, thank you. Like I said, we like to have fun. We like to make sure the guests have fun. Let your shoulders down. Have fun. I'll tell you one thing. This is the most profanity we've ever had on a...
My bad. Listen, it's bad. Bad at home. But I have to put money in savings accounts because I...
Oh, then they're going to have footage. They're going to have evidence on how much money is going in.
No.
Damn sure.
No.
Like, Mom, you said $365,000 worth of words. Like, goddamn.
It's a dollar for a word, so...
A dollar?
If you guys want to add that up at the end, that'd be fine.
You're going for a good, nice, good skateboard.
No, he can't touch it. He can't touch it. You know, we did let him swear one time. You guys want to see it? No, never mind. Later.
Oh, man.
What is happening right now?
People are just peopling.
You appear this, or you come here. You come in this week.
I have yet to hear my kids curse. I'm kind of afraid to. I remember when my little sister cursed for the first time, and that was the funniest in the world. She was like, there was a song, and she said, ditch in it, and my... mom caught it, and she was like, you don't say that word. Me and my older sister told, and she's like, you don't say that word. And then she felt guilty, she felt bad, and then she ran up to my mom like maybe 20 minutes later. She's like, hey, mom, I won't say bitch no more. I'm sorry, I won't say bitch no more.
Oh my God.
But she just kept saying it over and over again, and she was like, okay,
we get it.
Yeah. That's... That's my little sister. Definitely feels like my third child. But, you know, before my kids actually came into this world.
That's awesome.
So hearing her curse felt like hearing one of my kids curse.
Yeah.
I swear I've seen that same animation in, like, SmackDown versus Raw.
Probably did.
As they can in the same animation same over and engine, over again, bro.
Over and over.
I was that. Like, what is this from? This is from, like, I was like 13 when I saw that animation.
Yeah, man. That is.
You want to close this one? You want to close this one?
You know,
we're trap bumping right now, baby.
You know, youtube.com/SwearCityPodcast. You know what I mean? Make sure you guys subscribe.
Do it.
And tune in to
the thing.
One of the realest episodes we ever had. No pun intended. That is the real, is his rap moniker. And her being the problem, but also having a real interview. You know what I mean? This was dope. This was fire. Make sure you tune in.
We don't really talk family much. And it was like probably the most like
this
family
is like,
talk.
This was this a like good, home. This was good. You know what
Yay.
I mean?
Like, yeah, this is a cooked food, you know homegrown.
Tell my story about how my mom right hook was. I don't get to say that. But, you know, thank you guys for tuning in. You know, shout out to my brothers once again. Si right there back and holding the camera for you guys that probably can't. You know who Si is. You know who X is.
We miss you, Mike. We miss the GOAT.
Mike the GOAT. We miss you.
Shout out,
you,
GOAT.
Brother. Keep getting that paper in Tennessee, man, and throw me $5, bro. Also, you know what I mean? Make
Buy
sure
him
you look
coffee.
Out. Buy him some coffee. You know what I'm saying? Decaf. And, you know, make sure you guys cop my brother's project. You guys see this by that project by this time.
May
14th. Make sure you cop that. My project June 24th. Make sure you cop that. And, you know.
Troy's birthday is April 24th.
I remember that. I said it with
her. Yeah, I was like 24.
So, you know,
we 35, 48.
We continue to keep it moving, brother. And
as you say, be confident in everything we do.
Wash your ass.
And do your homework.
Yeah, Troy. All that. All that.